years. I guess I gave my family a heart attack going to altars at different places and bowing and praying and asking the Lord to save me. But one night, during the July revival at Pleasant Hill, I knelt on the front bench, right in the middle. And the altar was full of people praying and seeking the Lord, and I couldn't even get there. But I remember that night was a little different because typically somebody had to come to me and ask me if I wanted to pray before I'd ever make a move. But that night, the Lord got a hold of me, and He let me know that I was lost, and I'd known that I was lost. But that night, He got a hold of me, and He just about choked me to death until I prayed. And I can remember bowing down that night, and I can remember something changed. There was a peace that entered into my heart. There was no preacher around. There was nobody there standing there asking me to repeat a prayer or anything like that. It was me and the Lord. And anybody that's ever going to be saved has to come the exact same way that I did. And that's between you and the Lord. There's not a person in this world that can save your soul. There's not enough money in this world to save your soul. There's not enough good that you can do that can save your soul. It's between you and the Lord. And I met the Lord right in the middle of that altar. That's when I knew He was real, because He lived right here. For many years, I got to lead the singing at Pleasant Hill. My granddad led singing for many years, and as I got older, I began to do that after the Lord saved me, and I always enjoyed getting to do that. He would go preach at a little church in Allen County, Kentucky, and there's Oak Forest, and there's about 8 people that went there. It wasn't very many. One revival that they had, they asked me to come lead their singing because they didn't have a song leader. So I went, and the first night we were there, I want to tell you about when I was called to preach so that you know that I've truly been called by God to preach, because in order to preach, in order to stand here this morning, I have to truly be called by God. But I remember they called me to come help in that meeting to lead their singing, and I went over there and took the piano player from Pleasant Hill, and we were singing Glad Reunion Day, one of the good songs that we sing. And I remember about 3 words into the song, the Lord said, "Go preach." And I thought, Lord, surely you're talking to somebody else. But the only person that was close enough to be able to hear that was the piano player. And I knew He hadn't called her to preach. It scared me to death. I had something that I didn't want to do. I thought, Lord, I'm the song leader. That's my job in church. And He had other plans for me, and I ran for about 3 years. A good brother was asking how long that I ran from preaching, and I ran for about 3 years, and I was telling him the Lord about took everything that I had. I was not a very happy person the last few months before I told my calling to preach. I'm sure everybody in my family thought I was doing something very wrong, because I wasn't happy. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was just a very upset, unhappy person. And when we're not following the Lord, we're very unhappy, upset, a bunch of people. And I remember getting down in front of my bed one night, because the Lord let me know that I was going to have to preach. I remember getting down in front of my bed, and I remember asking the Lord if He would remove preaching from me, but He wouldn't do it. And I remember getting down there and the Lord showing me that if I didn't get to church and tell them that I've been called to preach, that He was going to take my life. And as sure as I'm standing here this morning, I believe that He would have done that, because God has a time span in things that He wants done. And I believe time runs out sometimes on those things, and we can try His patience enough. I got to church that next Sunday morning, and they got through Sunday school, led singing in Sunday school, and I thought, well, this will be just like every other time I was supposed to tell I've been called to preach, and I'll get through it one more time. Got through Sunday school, and they began to sing in the worship service, 10,000 years, and they got about 3 words into the song, and it was like a wrecking ball came out of the side of the church and knocked me up, and there I was standing telling the church that I'd been called to preach. I told January 6th of 2013 that I'd been called to preach. And that next Sunday night, I preached for the first time. And for the last 2 years, the Lord's had us on the road just about every Sunday going somewhere. And that's a blessing. The Lord has given us a lot of places to go. And here this morning, we are at Mount Calvary, and we're glad to be here. I say all that to get to this part of our message, what the Lord's laid on our heart this morning. And if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to take them out and open with us this morning. Maybe a little bit of a lengthy reading lesson. I don't know how far we'll read. We're just going to let the Lord lead, guide, and direct, because that's all we know how to do. If He doesn't lead, guide, and direct, I couldn't stand up here and preach, because He's the one that has to do the preaching. And he does that through me. Hopefully I can be a willing mouthpiece for him this morning. The 24th chapter of the book of Luke. It's a very familiar reading. We'll start with the first verse. And it said, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stood stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." And we're going to stop right there just for a few moments of time. And if we had a thought for this morning, and we'll get to where my thought came from in just a few moments. But if we had a title for what the Lord has laid on our heart this morning, it would be "He is Alive." I believe we can read in the Bible, and I know this is nothing new to any of you. But if I was coming this morning preaching something new, I would hope that you would ask me to leave and never come back. Because there's nothing in between these two leather covers that will be new to you this morning. All that I know to preach this morning is Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Because that's all there is Jesus Christ. We read about a man, and we know that he came into this world. We just left the Christmas season, and we know that he was born into this world, and we know that before the foundations of this world that he was going to have to die for this sinful world. And we read about in Luke and the Gospels that are out there for us, we know that he went to a cruel cross for each and every one of us. We know that. We know that that was a must for every person that would ever be saved, is that he would have to go to the cross for us. It was a must. He had to go. But you know, he could have just stayed in that grave that they put him in. Joseph of Arimathea, he let him have his grave. He went to Pilate after they crucified him. And he said, "Let him be buried in my grave. Let him be buried in my tomb." It was a borrowed tomb that they laid him in. It wasn't even one that he had. It was borrowed. But I'm so glad he didn't need one of his own, because he wasn't going to stay there. He wasn't going to be there long. We can read about what Peter done here. What did Peter do? Peter went to him to the tomb there that morning, and I believe they were going to prepare his body. He had told them many, many times throughout the Gospels, and many different times that he was talking to them. In one account of this, Mark 9 and 31, he says, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." He had told them repeatedly that he was going to die. They didn't believe him then. They also didn't believe that in 3 days he would rise again. This world doesn't believe that. There's a lot of people today, you can go a lot of different places, and they'll say, "God's not real." But I'm so glad that I know that God is real. If you don't know that this morning, I want to be the first to tell you, God is real. But people today, they might believe that God is real. They might believe that Jesus died on a cross, but they don't believe that he rose on that third day. They don't believe that he went to that tomb and then he just stayed there. They believe that. They believe that he's still dead. But I'm so glad this morning at Mount Calvary, wherever God's people are meeting, they are meeting with a real, live God. It's something that you can feel. It's something that our churches must be based upon. And that is the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We don't serve a dead God. When the Lord gave me this thought
Thursday night, I began to do a little research, and typically I don't do this kind of research for trying to study for my sermon, but I began to do a little research on the computer about other religions and their leaders and what they had done and where they were. You want to know where each and every one of them are? The Buddhist, well, he's dead. Muhammad, he's dead. And they know where their bodies are at. But you know where Jesus is today? He's alive. Because he told them, he said, in 3 days, I will rise again. And you know what he did? He didn't lie to them. He didn't say that just to be saying it. He kept his promise there. Because he was going to rise again. But they didn't believe him. You know, the society that we live in today likes a good news story. They like to get the hottest news they can and print it all over the front page of a newspaper or all over the internet for everybody to see. Scroll across the bottom of Fox, CNN, MSNBC, whatever you want to watch. They like to get the hottest thing out there first. And if we were living in Jerusalem about this time, at this point, you know what we would have saw on every newspaper, Facebook, everything we could have imagined? We got him. We killed him. We got that man that was going around saying he was the Son of God. We got him. Look what we did. We finally got him. We finally caught him. He's dead. That would have been what was going around. The Romans were very upset with this man named Jesus. He was stealing their power. He was undermining everything that they had built up. He was doing everything he could in their eyes to go around their teachings. And I'm so glad that he did. But you know how gossip likes to spread, and news as it comes out, everybody likes to talk about it. You're texting each other, telling everybody, well, did you see that on the news? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Well, I want to read to you an account on the Emmaus Road about two men who were talking about what had just happened. The 13th verse is and said, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. A lot of times when Jesus would appear to people, he would do it in a way that they didn't really recognize who he was. And this is one of those times. In the 16th verse, it says, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. I believe the Lord did this because I believe he wanted to hear what they were saying. I wonder what they really thought about that. And it said in the 17th verse, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? Have you not heard what's been going on? Have you not heard about this man going around saying he was Jesus? Have you not heard that they finally got him yesterday, a couple days ago, that they finally killed him, they nailed him to a cross? It's finished. He's done. There's nothing else. He won't come back and he won't terrorize anybody anymore. They got him. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. I told you that our thought this morning was, he's alive. That third day, I want you to realize what kind of tomb he must have been laid in. If you've ever seen a picture of it, it kind of looked like a cave. I'm sure it's a big old rock that was put in front of it so he couldn't get out. So they knew these teachings. They knew what he'd said, that in 3 days he would rise again. What made the Romans really mad was they were building this temple, and he said, don't you know that I could destroy that temple and make it rise again in 3 days? They'd spent a long time building this temple. It took them a long time to do that. And for him to say that he could build it in 3 days made them mad. They knew the teachings that he taught that he was going to rise that third day. But you know what? They wanted to make it almost impossible for him to get out of that tomb. So they rolled a big old rock in front of it. I don't know how many of you are that strong to roll a rock out of the way, but God didn't need anybody to roll that a big old stone out of the way. He didn't need anybody to do that because he was Jesus Christ and he was coming out of that grave. He came out for every single one of us today. That's why we're here, is because he's alive. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're alive. Before that, you're just as dead as you can be. You don't have nothing about you. There's no spirit about you at all. When he went away, people began to get a little upset because they thought, well, you won't be here with us anymore. And nobody's going to be out here to protect us. But what did he tell them? Let's read over in the book of John. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seemeth no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Because he lives, we also live. I was with some friends Friday night. One is a preacher, a young preacher that is one of my best friends. And some of us were sitting around, and I had this thought, and I was wondering, when did you know that God was alive? When did you know that he was real? I can remember being lost, and I grew up in the old-time missionary Baptist way. I'd been taught about it all my life. I'd heard that there was a man named Jesus, that he died on the cross for me. I believed that with my mind. I truly did. I thought, well, surely that's good enough to get me to heaven. I believed that with everything in me, that there was a God in my mind. And I went to the altar for the first time, and I thought, surely it'll be easy for someone like me who's grown up in the church, that knows all about it, that knows that he's real. And I went to the altar for a long time. I told you about where I got saved. I did get saved. But for a long time, I thought maybe these people have made all of this up. Maybe they're just playing on some emotion that they have. Maybe there's really not a God. Maybe he's just not real. I trusted the people that I went to church with. They'd get up and they'd shout the house down. Walking around talking to lost people, singing songs. There'd be services in one part of the house and another part of the house. You knew that there was something different about those people. You knew there was something that they had that you didn't have if you were lost. You knew they had something that you wanted. Why is that? It's because they were alive and you are dead. You want it. And when I was lost, I wanted it. I wanted to know what they knew. I should have known all that time that God was real. When you're lost, how do you know you're lost? Does a big sign pop up someday and just say, well, you're lost, you need to seek the Lord? No, it don't happen. What does God do? He draws you. You feel that little knocking at your heart. You'll be in a service with God's people, and a good old sister will stand up and she'll begin to testify and tell about what the Lord saved her soul. And you'll realize you don't have that. You'll feel that tug, and I'm telling you something, that's not the devil. The devil ain't never tugged nobody nowhere except out the church house doors. Because that's exactly what he wants for you. Because he don't want you to believe that God's alive. He wants you to believe that God, that Jesus Christ is just like every other one of those leaders of every other major religion in this world. He wants you to believe that he is dead. That there's no possible way for you to be saved. That's exactly what he wants. But you feel that little tug pulling you to the altar. And it doesn't have to be up here. It can be wherever that you are that you can seek the Lord. That's the tug. That's how you know God is real, because He works on you. That's the Spirit of God letting you know that you're lost, reproving you of your sins, and letting you know you need to do something about it. I felt that for a long time. I knew that He was real. But you want to know where I first really met Him? It's when He saved my soul. Because He lived, I can now live. There is a change that happens. Now, I've never seen a dead person get up out of a casket and walk down the aisle of a funeral home or a church. I've never seen that with my physical eyes. Never seen it. But there is a change that has to happen for the Lord to have been dead. And He was dead. They nailed Him to a cross. He was dead. There was no mistaking that. He was a dead person. Just like we know dead people today. He was just like them. He was already buried. Already in the tomb. But He told them, He said, in 3 days I will rise again. I'm going to come out of that tomb. There was a change that had to have taken place there. Just like there has to be a change that takes place inside of you. There's a lot of places that you can go and they'll tell you just to change your mind. It's not a changing of your mind. It's a changing of what's in here. It's because there's something there that wasn't there before. And I'm so glad that's the salvation that I've got. I'm so glad that nobody had to tell me that. God showed me. God let me know that I was saved. I didn't need anybody else to tell me. Just like I would have known if I'd have been these men. And we read on to a point where they find out He had hid themselves. They didn't know that they were talking to Him. He was talking to them just like He would talk. I would talk to you and I. He was talking to them like that. They didn't realize that until they vanished. He vanished. He went away. He went away from these men. He was going to stay with them all night. And they began to ask questions. He opened their eyes. He let them know. They said, didn't our hearts burn when He was talking to us? Doesn't your heart burn when God speaks to you, lost or saved? If you're lost, God burns in your heart because you know you need to be saved and you need to do something about it. But if you're saved, God burns in your heart to follow Him, to worship Him, and to do everything that He asks for you to do, because He is a live, working God, and we need to be live, working people. There's a lot of places that you can go. A lot of churches that you could walk in, it's just as dead as it can be. Why is that? Because they don't have anything. Because they don't have what we have. They don't have the Spirit to lead and guide and direct them. Because they don't know, because they're dead, but we're alive. Bunch of people, our churches ought to be alive with God's Spirit. Amen. They ought to be alive with the shouts of the praises that He fills us with. They ought to be alive with the testimonies that God has given us, because it is a live testimony. It's real. I could stand up here and talk to you all day about history. I love history. But that's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. Those people that I could talk to you about, they're dead. But I'm telling you about somebody today who's alive. And people say, well, I can't see him, so he must not be real. He must not be real. People say, well, I want to see him. If God's real, let Him manifest Himself. You know how people can know that He is real? Through us. Because we're alive, we show other people that He's alive. If we walk around every day with the saddest face you've ever seen, just walking around just like we have no mission in life, no aim in life, people are going to know that there's something different about us. Our lives, our talk, they ought to be alive for the Lord. Everything we do ought to be alive. We should be the happiest bunch of people because God is alive.
Amen.
Read you just a couple more scriptures out of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. First verse, we'll just read one verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How does God save our soul? For by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith. Evidence of things not seen. Through faith. not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is through faith that God saves our soul. You know, I told you that I believed in the mind that God was real, and I did. And I think every kid that grows up and goes to Sunday school and is taught by the good sisters and brothers of the church, in their mind, they really believe that there's a God. I did. But I didn't believe where I needed to because I didn't have the faith until I met Him. And God gave me faith because it's evidence of things not seen. I know that I've never seen Him with my physical eyes. I've never seen Jesus Christ in His natural earthly body. I've never seen Him. Neither have you. But if you've been saved this morning, you sure felt Him. You sure knew when He passed by and saved your soul. Because why? Because He's alive. Now someday, and I told you that we've never seen Him down here with our eyes, and we've never seen Him physically. But now someday, if you've been saved, and you've truly been saved, and only you can truly know that you've been saved. Nobody else can tell you that. But there will be someday when you'll leave this veil of life, that you'll pass beyond this whole world. Each and every one of us that's here today, we will die at some point. We'll either die, or the Lord's come back and He'll take us on to heaven, you'll go ahead. Just pretty simple. I don't know how else to tell you about it, except that way. But each and every one of us will die. We will. It's just part of life. You were born into this world and you must die. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, someday you will stare face to face with a live, living Jesus Christ when you walk through the portals of glory and you see Him sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you'll get to shake His hand because He's alive. I'm so glad that I know that I was brought up in a way that teaches that there's a live, living God. Because there's a lot of people that wander aimlessly through this world with no hope. Because they believe in something that is dead. If you've been saved, you serve something that's alive. And lost person, if you're here, the very person I'm talking about is alive. He's not dead, and He's willing to save you today. There's nothing I can do for you. I can preach all day long about how good that God is, and I can tell you that He's alive until I'm blue in the face. But until you meet Him, until you know firsthand, you have to have that faith. I'm so thankful that He's alive. You know, maybe that was an extra sermon. Maybe we moved up the holidays just a little bit. But what I do know is that every day that I get up, I have somebody that goes with me. When I go to sleep at night, when I get in bed at night, I have somebody that's with me. Nobody may be there physically. When I get out of bed, walk to the bathroom in the morning, begin getting ready for my day, somebody's with me because God's alive. And He said that He would be with us forever. There's not a place that we go that God would go with us. There's some places that we go that we think God isn't with us and that we probably shouldn't take Him with us through. He goes with us everywhere. There's a poem, and I'm not going to recite it because I don't know it. But the footprints in the sand. I know you've all read it. That's just a proven point. God walks with us. Because why? Because He's alive. We serve a living Savior. That's a song. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, no matter what the world may say. If you knew Him like I know Him, you know He's living, and you want it better than anything in this world. I don't know how you all end your services. I'd like for us to have a song, an altar call, whatever we. However you'd like to do it, I'd like to have a song and give an invitation for those that might be here lost. I don't know anybody's heart. I can't see inside you and know if you're lost. God doesn't give people that ability. But if you're here today and lost, God will draw you and let you know that you need Him. If you're lost, this altar's open. You can pray at your seat. I know that there's people that will pray with you and stay with you until you get what you need, because that's who we are. We want you to have what we have. We want you to know that He's alive. May God bless you is our prayer. We have a song.